The Saudi war in Yemen has just entered its fourth year. After over 14,000 deaths, the Saudis don't have much to talk about militarily. The only ones who have exchanged human rights for arms sales have had the most to gain, countries like the U.S. and U.K. In this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss the three-year war and try to find out what the young prince MBS's misadventure could cost the Saudis and its allies. Our guest joining us for this edition of The Debate, political commentator Hussein Al-Mousawi joins us from Beirut. And from the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane joins us from Washington. I'd like to welcome you both. Michael Lane, let me first start with you. Ansar fighters remain in control of large parts of the country, including the capital Sana'a. Government forces have struggled to retake the territory despite the support of a coalition that's led by the Saudi military, pumped to the gills practically by the UK and the US. Why have the Saudis not been able to defeat the Ansar fighters?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons, but the key reason is they have not been willing to commit the ground forces necessary to prosecute the campaign. The Saudi war, although it has been multifaceted, has been overwhelmingly an air war. You know, the first recruit to any army in the world first learns that you cannot win a war strictly via the air. It's all about key terrain and taking the ground and having an army occupying the particular land that you want. Saudi Arabia and their coalition allies have done limited ground activities, and until they are or someone is willing to commit the ground forces to make it work, and as long as they're dependent on an air war only, then there's not really going to be any resolution. The Houthis are an incredibly difficult target to hit from the air. They're hard to identify because they don't always wear uniforms. They're hard to identify because they don't always carry weapons when they're going from one armed depot to another armed depot. When you have a situation like that and you're depending on an air war, it's a prescription for stalemate.
Well, let's see here. Hossein Al-Mousawi, if what Michael Lane says, which sounds like a war one-on-one in terms of the information, which I would guess if it's intelligence, the U.S. is feeding that information to the Saudis, then why are they continuing bombing Yemen? I would think that after a year, maybe 2 years, they would reach that conclusion.
Yes, if I hope I heard the question right. First of all, just a quick response to your guest. I mean, a ground operation is quite impossible today. We saw the Saudis, they tried to go through with it. We saw it in Najran and Asir, in those areas bordering Yemen, and it was a catastrophe for the Saudi army. Also, there is another issue, is that the Saudi forces, along with the coalition, are not capable of going through with ground forces. There were some mercenaries that were paid to do the job. We heard Blackwater, and there's been a lot of reports about this issue. They also severely lost in Yemen. So therefore, it's close to impossible. I don't even think bringing up the question of having ground forces in Yemen is possible. And for those who know history, Sana'a is one of the only cities in the world that was never ever conquered. It's close to impossible to take over the city. Okay, going back to the main now, it's been 3 years, 36 months. I think we've entered the 37th month now of this war. Saudis are locked in a quagmire in Yemen. They're not able to do anything, basically because the Yemenis have shown strong resilience. They've stood beside their army, their leadership. They've really sent a message to the whole world that if you stand resilient and if you are on the right side of the war, therefore you can be able to succeed. We saw the images today, I mean breathtaking images, where hundreds of thousands, I won't say millions, came out to the streets on the third anniversary of this brutal war on Yemen. Once again, this is a message to the world that Yemenis, despite the cholera, despite the famine, despite everything ongoing in Yemen, they still stand behind their leadership. They're still very resilient, and it seems that this war is set to drag on. However, we are going to continue with this very resilient image inside Yemen. So today, Yemenis, we have to show a lot of respect for these people. Despite all the hardship they are going through, they are able also to stand resilient in front of pretty much the world.
What message does that send to your eyes, Michael Lane, when you see that? I don't know if you caught a glimpse. As usual, these protests, when they happen, in this case to mark the 30-year anniversary, they're pretty large. And then it makes you wonder, okay, so who really supports the Saudis and this coalition, And it's, I guess, from what we understand, this gentleman by the name of Hadi, who may be under house arrest, according to some reports, that they're trying to push onto the Yemeni people. Because I'm guessing after 3 years, the Yemeni people are not going to be in support of anything that has to deal with whoever the Saudis may want to put into power.
Well, yes, there were demonstrations today, and the press reports and the video feeds pretty much were limited to Sana'a. Now, Sana'a has been under the control of the Houthi rebels for years now, so it doesn't surprise me at all that they were able to turn out a sizable crowd and make it look like the people were really, really supporting them. And in fact, in that particular area, they may be supporting them. But those protests were not Yemen-wide. They were not taking place in areas that are not controlled by the Houthis. And so therefore, it would seem that perhaps a little bit of it was artificially generated as opposed to just an organic protest by the Yemenis people who live in Sana'a. Now, as far as their commitment and dedication or loyalty to President Hadi is concerned, well, President Hadi is still the internationally recognized, legitimate president, head of government of Yemen. And until that changes, the Saudis and their coalition continue to prosecute the campaign at the request and the invitation of President Hadi. He is the internationally recognized head of state. So it would seem that they have legal standing to be there and pursue what they're doing. And again, as I said in the first answer, we're in a stalemate situation now because they're not willing to commit the resources necessary to actually prosecute the campaign to a victory. Although there do look like, more recently, it does look like there has been some progress in the Saudi and coalition strategy. Certainly, they've been able to be much more accurate in their targeting. Civilian deaths are diminishing somewhat, still way too high. But their targeting information is a lot better, their intelligence is a lot better, and they seem to be closing in on the sole remaining port that the Houthi rebels control. So if they take that, that would be a huge military victory. Not predicting they will, but that's where they're headed.
Looking at this so-called Saudi and Saudi-led alliance, Hossein al-Moussaoui, you know, when this war started back 3 years ago, there were a large number of countries that were involved. And at this point, I think the two driving forces now basically is Saudi Arabia and the UAE. However, that alliance may also be on shaky grounds and perhaps not as united based on some of the recent events that have happened. The Saudis and the Emiratis not yet, however, split from this coalition, but tensions are there. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and whether this coalition is indeed in trouble.
Well, I hope also I heard the question well, because there is an issue with the sound. First of all, just a quick response to your guest. I mean, today's large turnout, I mean, he totally forgot the fact that there was hundreds of thousands of the streets. I don't think the Ansarullah forced people to come out on the streets. I think they chose to come out on the streets, let it be in Sana'a or in any other area. So the images are breathtaking, to say the least. The second issue, he said that there is some sort of progress and that they're trying to choose their targets very carefully. I think that's also wrong. We saw massacres being committed only a few weeks ago. And also on the other side, I don't think that they are being able to succeed anywhere. Today they were able to kill a few Saudi forces in Asir. Therefore, I don't think the Saudis are even trying to choose targets or trying to abide by international law. The only reason, and concerning Hadi, the only reason Hadi is seen as the legitimate so-called leader or president of Yemen, of course, by the West, is basically because the US and the UK has continued to sell weapons to the Saudis. Therefore, of course, they are going to support their stance over Hadi. And also, you never answered the question about the fact if he is under house arrest or not. And I say today, yes, he is under house arrest. Why isn't he in Aden right now? Okay, today the coalition is in big trouble. Let it be the Saudis or the Emirates, which are very active in this coalition. Today they're stuck in Yemen. It's a quagmire. They need someone to take them off this tree. They don't know what to do, and they're very lost in Yemen. And We should mention something very important for those who don't, because international media has been trying to blur this issue. I think yesterday we saw nearly 10 rockets land inside Riyadh. Therefore, if anything, this means that the opposing side, it is the Yemeni army and the Ansarullah movement that have the upper hand in this war until now. After 3 years, they're not even able to deter one rocket. Rockets are showering on Saudi cities, and it doesn't seem that they're able to do anything. If that's answering the question as much as I heard.
Yes, you did. Let's talk about that, Michael Lane. Why do you think that, given the fact now you have these rockets that were fired, what turn would this take in this war? Do you think that the Saudis are going to push? And there's reports, by the way, that there are backdoor talks happening between Saudi Arabia and the Ansarullah fighters, even though the UAE is not part of that. That's one of the splits that is reported to be between Saudi Arabia and the UAE. But do you think, based on these rockets being fired, which is one of the largest and the first time that it actually had a fatality, that this will push the Saudis and the other party for a reconciliation, for a compromise, for some kind of political solution? Or will it take a turn for the worse militarily when it comes to Saudi Arabia and its coalition against Yemen?
Well, I think the result of the rockets coming into Saudi Arabia, multiple targets, is going to intensify the action, not diffuse the action. There is a, Saudi Arabia has a real interest in defending its own borders. The last time this happened, which I believe was last November, about 4 or 5 months ago, of course, was when they ratcheted up the blockades of the Yemeni ports to ensure that additional rockets were not able to be delivered into the Yemen theater. And that held for a number of months until they loosened it up for humanitarian purposes, persuaded by other players in the region. It seems to me that to the coalition, when you see something like that, it will bring the coalition back together to the point that there are any frayed aspects of it. And even the Emirates issued a statement today strongly backing the Saudis as a result of these rockets coming in. Anything that destabilizes the Saudi government is something that is greatly feared by the other members of the coalition. And when there's a hint that there's a chance for destabilization, the coalition will come back together and support the Saudis, just full force.
Let me address to you then, Hossein Al-Moussaoui. Why is it that we're not seeing a real incentive by the Saudis or the coalition for a political solution? Because from what we're looking at here, we're just looking at bombs being dropped. What is the purpose that Saudi Arabia has by continuing this war?
Well, of course, there are many reasons for this. Number one is the fact that they have not been able to become victorious in this war. Of course, Saudi Arabia does not want to leave this war without a positive result. Therefore, the only reason the war is dragging on is because if Saudi Arabia decides today to stop this war, then it will be an international embarrassment for it after 3 years. Because we saw the goals. I mean, once this war kicked off 3 years ago, the Saudi had objectives. And until now, none of these objectives have been met. Therefore, if this war will stop today, if the coalition will announce that the war will stop, therefore, this will be a failure and a major victory for the Yemeni people. That's number one. Number two, the US does not want this war to stop because there are billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that are being made by the U.S. By the USA, and there are a lot of arms trade in this regard, as well as the UK. Therefore, there is a U.S. green light for this war to continue. As I said earlier, there is no positive result for this war. Therefore, the Saudis will continue to drag on with this war until they can find some sort of way out, a sort of exit in which Saudi Arabia will save face. Until now, there is no saving face for Saudi Arabia. We only saw rockets continuing to be launched deep into Saudi territory. It seems that Saudi Arabia is in big trouble. However, I always say this, the main keys to stop this war are with the US. As long as there is hundreds of billions of dollars being pumped into the US economy by Saudi Arabia, this war will drag on.
Okay, let's talk about the arms sales. We cannot go this program, Michael Lane, without talking about it. And I can't really forget, and I'm sure you can't either, along with the rest of the world, that scene in the White House with MBS sitting next to Donald Trump while Donald Trump is looking at the card and saying this many billions of dollars or this many hundreds of millions of dollars in military sales. So is that a reason for the U.S. to want this war to continue? Because coming out of this trip, different signals were sent by the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mattis. At one point he said, well, you know, there's got to be a solution to this war, a political one, to the prince. But yet we have this sale that happened. So what is the deal with the U.S.? And also, if you can combine that into your first answer to the first question, where you said you can't win the war from the air. So I would think the U.S. would be advising Saudi Arabia to not do that, or else go on the ground.
Yes, well, I think Secretary Mattis's statement was pretty strong. He really did call for a speedy termination to the war. What I don't think I read that he said he may have was unfavorable terms. And of course, favorable terms to Saudi Arabia and the United States would be not favorable terms to the Houthi rebels. So there's that to balance. But as long as the war is going on, the peninsula is destabilized. And the United States does not want a destabilized peninsula, because at any moment there can be a miscalculation or a misjudgment, and that destabilization can be exported out of Yemen in the southern part of the peninsula into Saudi Arabia itself, and that would create a disaster from the United States' point of view. So we really do want to see stability, and we really do want to see an end to the war. But as I said, on terms favorable to Saudi Arabia. Now, as far as the arms sales are concerned, yes, the United States is having an economic success in supplying the arms sales to Saudi Arabia, but we've been doing so for decades and decades. They've been an important ally of ours in the region. We've been able to supply them with the weapons they need to provide for their own defense. We have a treaty with them to cooperate in these matters in terms of their security, as well as other countries throughout the region. And I expect that will stay on. And so right now, with the Trump administration increasing the number of arms that are available to Saudi Arabia, it's just really pursuing at a higher level the same policy that the United States has had for decades and decades.
Final question goes to you, Hossein al-Moussaoui. By some accounts, it is said that if the United States wanted this war to stop, they could do that through a phone call to Saudi Arabia. Do you agree?
Well, if I heard the question as well, I mean, first of all, just a quick reply to your guest. I mean, if the U.S. today, tonight, decides that the war should stop in Yemen, it will stop. I mean, once the U.S. decides, I mean, what is Saudi Arabia or Al Saud? I mean, they're very, you know, they're just small employees that listen to what the U.S. administration says. Let's not take, let's not misunderstand this whole concept. I mean, it's a Saudi-U.S. war on Yemen. Also, your guest says that yes, that the U.S. administration is selling weapons to Saudi Arabia. What are these weapons doing? I mean, where are they? The U.S. does not know that these weapons will kill the Yemeni children. They don't know that these weapons will cause a cholera outbreak. This disease that was left behind decades ago. The U.S. does not know that the rockets that it supplies to Al Saud, to the Riyadh regime, will be sent, will be shot at Yemeni children. I think the U.S. knows this very well. And once the U.S. decides, it's the U.S., not any other country. Once the U.S. decides that this war should end, it will end. However, what I know that the Saudis have been continuing to pressure the U.S. because I know that the U.S. there are circles inside the U.S. that are fed up with the Saudis. However, you have hundreds of PR corporations in New York, in Washington, also in London, and in many major capitals that are working day and night to make sure that reports don't reach the Guardian, they don't reach the New York Post, although they are. We are still reading reports. However, there are a lot of PR companies that are working restlessly to make sure that these war crimes don't reach an international level. So today, it is the US that has continued to support this coalition, because mainly because it is weapons. We know that the Trump administration, before it even comes into power, it said that it will continue to try to snatch as much money
as
it can.
I'm so sorry. Thank you very much, the political commentator, Hussein Al-Mousawi. Thank you from the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tawai, the entire team of the Capital Tehran, goodbye.